Good afternoon, everyone. Words play an important part in our lives. The words that we use in our speech and in our thoughts tell us where we've been, where we're at now, and where we're going to. Today I want to look at the power of words in our lives and see how the words of God have real power to transform our lives. I seriously doubt that there's anyone in this room that can remember their very first word in life and its meaning. There is, however, one individual who did know what that first word was, and it changed that person's life around. It was that powerful of a word and experience for that individual. Can I see a show of hands of those who knew who Ann Sullivan is? Okay, we have a few out there who knew who Ann Sullivan is. Well, to the rest of us who do not know who Ann Sullivan is, Ann Sullivan was a teacher. Ann was brought to an individual who was mute, deaf, and blind. And she took on that challenge to teach this person to communicate with others. While many of you may not know the teacher, I'm sure that you do know her student. That student was Helen Keller. Helen Keller, at the age of 19 months, lost her sight and hearing because of scarlet fever. Now, Helen Keller accomplished much in life with the assistance of her teacher. Later, she would be able to talk, write books. And Helen became the first deaf and blind student to graduate from the university in the United States. I might add also as a side note, with honors. Now, Helen Keller wrote in her autobiographical book titled The Story of My Life, the moment she became consciously aware of her first word and the power that it had over her. I'd like to read an excerpt from her book here. She writes in her book this: "The most important day I remember in all my life is the one in which my teacher, Ann Mansfield Sullivan, came to me. I am filled with wonder when I consider the immeasurable contrast between the two lives which it connects. It was the 3rd of March, 1887, 3 months before I was 7 years old." Now, Helen goes on in the rest of her book, and she's talking about how she just cannot comprehend what this teacher is trying to teach her. And she goes on, and after a while, and some time goes by, she writes this: "We walked down the path to the well house, attracted by the fragrance of the honeysuckle from which it was covered. Someone was drawing water, and my teacher placed my hand under the spout. As the cool stream gushed over my hand, she spelled into the other word, water, first slowly, then rapidly. I stood still, my whole attention fixed upon the motion of her fingers. Suddenly, I felt a misty consciousness as of something forgotten, a thrill of returning thought, and somehow the mystery of language was revealed to me. I knew that W-A-T-E-R meant that wonderful, cool something that was flowing over my hand. That living word awakened my soul, gave it light, hope, joy, set it free." Now, while that word water was a positive experience for Helen Keller, we all know too well that words have a power over us in the negative sense. Just ask any child on the playground when other children pick on them. In response to that verbal abuse, that child may say that familiar phrase, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, the fact is that words do hurt us. Sometimes in the family setting, sadly to say, we may hear the words, Can't you ever do anything right? Why are you so stupid? Now, why can't you be like your sister or brother? Now, let's turn to our Bibles to Proverbs 12 and see what what the Word of God says about words that hurt us. Now, let's read in Proverbs 12, verse 18. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Now, that's in your King James Version. And the word speaks here in the original Hebrew text meant to speak rashly or angrily, to speak thoughtlessly. In fact, the New Revised Standard Version and the American Standard Version translate the same scripture as, "Rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Now imagine for a moment that a sword is thrust into your side, pierces your skin, and cuts your inner organs. Now that is exactly what happens to us when we use cutting, hurtful words that destroy and tear. God wants us to choose words carefully when we speak. Now today, if you go to large bookstores, like for example Barnes & Noble, you see bookshelves and bookshelves there, and people are looking on those bookshelves for answers to the questions of life. You'll see them in the self-help section. You'll see them in the philosophy section. And you'll even see them in the New Age section. So they are seeking wisdom. Now, if they had only sought God and His ways. Now, since we are in Proverbs, let's go over a few pages to Proverbs 16. And let's read beginning in verse 1 of Proverbs 16. It says, "The preparations," that is the plans, the schemings of the heart, "belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." Now here we see our responsibility. Commit your works to the Lord. When we see God meeting our needs, and our thoughts will be established then. Now there is power in the words of God that will be given to us through the Spirit of God. Now a question I have for you today is this. Why are our words and our thoughts so important to God? If you read the Bible, we see that lives become contented if we follow the ways of God. Our family relationships are strengthened when we use positive, encouraging words and other thoughts with our family members. Now this is a direct positive result of using God's words in our lives. And God wants us to have a full, meaningful life. However, the cares of this world sometimes get in the way. We spend time in school, work. We try to work at advancing our careers, raising a family, or fighting the struggles that face a single person and are trying to deal with the health problems of old age. The problem is we neglect our Bible study and prayer because time just gets in the way, away from us. But what the heck? If I get to Sabbath services every week, I'm fulfilling God's commandment to keep the Sabbath, right? Sometimes we need to be reminded of the big picture of why we are here today, here in church, and why are we seeking the kingdom of God. Now, when I read the story of Helen Keller, my heart was touched when she learned about the word water. When I read that, the first thought that came in my mind was about the story in the Bible that I'm sure you're all familiar with. It's about the Samaritan woman who went to the well to get some water. And near the well was Jesus. And Jesus asked the Samaritan woman for some water, a drink. Now the woman knew that he was a Jew, and that Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Now Jesus said that if she had known whom she was speaking to, Jesus would give her living water. But who is this Jesus we worship? Well, let's turn to John 1, and we'll see who Jesus is here. We're probably real familiar with his part. In John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now let's drop down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And let's drop down now to verse 17. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So we see that Jesus Christ was the Word, and he was with God the Father from the beginning. Let's go to Ephesians 5, and we'll see how God is making the church the bride of Christ. So let's go down to Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her. Now, here's Jesus talking about the church now. With the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. We know that the word of God has the power to clean us up. We read the Word of God, we study the Word of God, and through the Spirit of God, it will cleanse our words and thoughts of ungodly pursuits. Each of us, that is, the members of the body of the church, will not have a spot or wrinkle. Now Christ is pictured in scriptures as a lamb sacrificed without blemish or spot. In Genesis, we're told that each animal produces after its own kind. Dogs produce dogs. Horses produce horses. Jesus Christ will marry only those who will become without spot or blemish, to become a part of the family of God. You and I will become part of that family. That is why our words of speech and thoughts are so important to God. Brethren, to those who have been in the church for a while, have you discarded that jacket you first wore when you came into the church? That jacket that contained words and thoughts of hatred, anger, vile words, and words that hurt our family members and others. It is our responsibility to take the steps of true repentance to change our lives as we seek the kingdom of God. God knows that we are weak. And he will finish the process in us so that when Christ returns, we will be changed in a twinkle of an eye and just be like Christ. Now, Helen Keller was awakened to a physical sense of what she called water, that living word. I would like to close with what Helen Keller said, but for us it's in a spiritual context. And Helen, I've added two words. That living word, Jesus Christ, awakened my soul, gave it light, joy, set it free.